Welcome back. Great to have your company on Summer Breakfast. Sam Edmund and Josh Jenkins with you on a fun Friday. And on fun Friday, all eyes and ears turn to Hobart for an historic fifth and final pink ball Ashes test between Australia and England. And thanks to Chadstone Toyota, stock is available for immediate delivery now at Chadstone Toyota. This man joins us, Jared Whateley. Welcome, G.
Sam, hello. Josh, great to be with you.
Great to be with you, and great that we've got another test to look forward to, and an historic one at that. And a lot of intrigue over selection, of course. Usman Khawaja is in. He had to be in, didn't he, Jared? And he's opening the batting.
He did. They just had to work out where to place him once he'd made the second century. I think after the first century, he still would have been left out come Hobart, and they would have stuck with the structural places that they'd put in for the series and left Marcus Harris at the top. But once he made the second century, there's no credible panel in cricket that could have made the choice to leave him out. So Harris is the least performed of the six, and on that basis, he misses out. So it is he's had a long run at it to bed himself in with a century. I actually think they're dropping him at the moment where he looks most likely to be the long-term opener. The Melbourne innings was outstanding, and a couple of 30s in Sydney. He's been penalised for not being able to convert those into big scores. So what is it, the law of sunken costs and the like? But Khawaja has to play, so they make the adjustment. Really interesting to see how he goes back opening. He's been tremendously successful in the little that he's done there in Australia, but it's a long time since he's opened either in first class or test cricket.
We know where they've landed. Is this where you would have landed on the selection dilemmas, Jared? Because we've had a fair bit of correspondence. We had a fair few texters suggesting Marnus could open, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to us. But is this where you would have landed, the way that they have?
Yeah, probably. I think, actually, that would have been where I started. I would have opened with Khawaja at the start of the series.
Yeah.
And then I would have played, and once they'd chosen Harris, I would have played Khawaja at five. So I'd said all the way through he would have been in my starting 11. Marnus Labuschagne has become the number one batter in the world at three. I don't see why you would mess around with that now. And Labuschagne three, Smith four. That's the long term combination. So I don't see why you would mess around with that now. You know that the next series is in Pakistan, and you know that Khawaja is going to be a part of it. So I would imagine that this is specific to their thinking as well, as in the next three tests in Pakistan, is you're happy to open with Khawaja and Warner together. So, yes, this is where I would have landed, but Khawaja would be playing his fifth test in my setup.
It's a great story, Usman Khawaja. As is Scott Boland, Jared. I mean, it is incredible to think the rapid rise of this man, that they're giving him until the absolute last minute with this fitness test. It's incredible because, you know, almost 5 minutes ago he was a journeyman at Shield level. It looks as though he's going to play, and we get another great look at what is a great story of the summer.
Yeah, so you think through Jai Richardson here as he bowled Australia to victory in Adelaide. He's not 100%, so they play the horses for course for selection Boland, who is mesmerising at the MCG. And then he was excellent again in Sydney, and I am a bit of a believer as personal momentum has to count for a lot. So he definitely plays if he's fit. But equally, if they're just a little bit unsure of him this morning, as Jai Richardson steps back in, which is a pretty great place to be in. But his craft is fantastic, Boland. We were blessed to have Chris Rogers with us across the two tests that he played. And he was able to set up what we were looking at, what we were about to experience at. And we got it over and over. The challenge he's represented to the English batsman has, for the most part, just been too much, just through his discipline and through his experience. And he does offer something completely different to the raw power of Stark when he's at his best. And Cummins is the premier fast bowler in the world, as Boland does complement that lineup extremely well.
In incredibly contrasting situations, we've got too many players to put in our 11, and England can't find 11. Somehow, staggeringly, it seems Haseeb Hameed is out and Rory Burns has done something somewhere,
Josh,
to earn a recall. What exactly is going on in England? Because They're going to make four or five changes. What can we expect from them in this fifth test, considering the changes that they are making?
Yeah, they dropped the wrong opener. That was my view at the time, as Rory Burns had made the second most runs for England throughout the calendar year behind Joe Root, and he got dropped in preference to Hamid. That was a poor decision. Is Hamid's not ready for Test cricket at the moment? Certainly not ready for Test cricket here. And Burns, they seem to get lost in the Australian derision of the way Burns bats, but it has been effective for him in the past. So they will correct their error there, and Zach Crawley looks their best opening prospect. Mike Atherton told us that the whole way through, and we got to see that with our own eyes in the second innings in Sydney. I rather like, there was a suggestion, I can't remember who put it up, that given Australia doesn't want to play Marcus Harris and England doesn't have an opener, they should be able to loan him for the Test match.
Hey, I made this suggestion.
Was that you?
No, it wasn't right, me yeah, this specifically, yeah. But I thought I'm all for opportunity. If you can't get a game somewhere, you might as well go elsewhere. Hey, Jared.
And they are the walking wounded, so I don't think we're quite sure yet what the lineup is going to be. It didn't seem like Jimmy Anderson was going to be able to play the fifth Test. They've got batsmen with injuries everywhere. So this is the toll of a five Test series, and I think it's playing out rather brutally for England.
I wanted to ask you about Justin Langer, the coach, and obviously not for the first time. They are extraordinary times, are they not, when you can win a T20 World Cup crown, storm to an Ashes victory, and seemingly have your head in the noose here for purposes of being recontracted. Does he survive going forward, Justin Langer, do you think? Or is the push seemingly from the playing side of things a hurdle that really, well, no coach can overcome?
It does seem like this is Justin Langer's final period as Australian coach, which is bewildering on one front, given the results that he is probably... I think the first phase of his coaching was absolutely excellent. You could argue that this is his most effective phase. Those stories from behind the scenes from several months ago, I'm not quite sure when they'll get fully told, whether it's when Langer finishes up or whether it's 10 years down the track. But probably to get the full understanding, we're going to need to hear those stories. Mm. And I guess a coach can be the right coach for a period of time and then be the wrong coach for a group of players, potentially.
Yeah.
If this was my decision, he would be recontracted quite clearly on the results that he's turned in. But it seems that that's not the case, and largely it's at the player's hand. But I find it interesting, and this is where cricket is different to footy, and it is a bit of a mystery at times, but that the players can sort of lobby so actively for the coach that they want. Mm. And that might be the... Well, it feels like it probably will be the determining factor. So, I hope Justin Langer gets the departure that he deserves, because he's done a phenomenal job for Australian cricket, if that is the way that it turns out. But I would be re-signing him and going with Langer for another tenure.
That's an extraordinary situation, as I say, and they've got tours coming up. Of course, whether he is a part of those, as I say, contractually he is, but whether they choose to move on immediately is all ahead of us. Really hot off the back of this Ashes series. Something you're familiar with, Jared, the weekend forecast. You love it, come footy season, we do as well, but we thought we'd dust it off summer style. We can call it the Friday forecast for I guess, contract reasons. Let's start with a sure thing, the Friday forecast here.
The sure thing is that there'll be a sellout crowd in Tasmania today, and Hobart there'll be a bursting sense of pride. So I think their Premier Peter Gutwin has done a pretty remarkable job for the state. He's dragged the AFL to the table for a formal vote in the coming months on a permanent licence in that competition, and he has secured an Ashes test against the financial clout of Melbourne and Sydney. Now, the problem in the past with tests in Hobart is people don't turn out in numbers suitable, really, for the occasion. They will today, and I believe tomorrow as well. So I think we'll get a couple of sold-out days. We'll get a tremendous atmosphere, and we'll get a wonderful sense of what cricket in Hobart. There's always a local character to a test match, and I think Hobart gets the chance to fully establish that today.
Most at stake, Jared?
Well, 4-0 is not 5-0.
Yeah,
so
I was going to say it'd be English related.
Yeah. So if they were staring down the whitewash, it would be that. It probably is Khawaja Warner, that combination, because if that is successful in this game, I imagine that will run most of the calendar year. Australia's got 9 test matches in Asia. I could easily see if Khawaja looks settled at the top of the order in the manner that I imagine he will, I think that will be Australia's short-term combination, not just for one test match, but probably they could, by the time we see them again, it's possible they've opened 10 in 10 consecutive test matches together.
I love a good doomsday scenario, Jared. What do you got for us here?
Well, so rain is a starting point, that the night session in Hobart, historic, huge build-up that we get washed out once evening falls. But it's Mitch Stark either physically breaking down or being ineffective at the end of a long series. So this is a bit of a punt playing him today. I think you could probably make the argument they should have rested him in Sydney and let him loose with the pink ball. So it's for Stark to show that he can still be a weapon at the end of a 5-test series or with a pink ball. So it is in his favour. I sort of fancy him in this test match. So the doomsday scenario is that he can't, that he just doesn't have it in him to get through these long punishing series.
There is a bit of rain around today and tomorrow particularly, potentially a little bit Sunday, and then it clears up. But fingers crossed it stays away for this historic moment, as you say. We need that, and the Tasmanians probably deserve it as well. Jared, enjoy it down there in Hobart. It's going to be history-making in every sense, and can't wait to watch it and listen to it all unfold right here on SEN.
Terrific. Lovely to talk to you, lads.